Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 12. Yukta Karma Palam Tyaktva.
Yukta Karma Palam Tyaktva.
Shanti Mapnoti Naishtikim. Ayukta Karma, Ayukta Karma Karena. Pale Sakta Nibadite. Yukta.
Yukta,
one who is engaged in devotional service. Karma palam, the results of all activities. Tyaktva, giving up. Shantim, perfect peace. Apnoti, achieves. Naishtikim, unflinching. Ayukta, one who is not in Krishna consciousness. Kama Karina, for enjoying the result of work. Pale, in the result. Sakta, attached. Nibadite, becomes entangled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the results of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the Divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. Purport, the difference between a person in Krishna consciousness and a person in bodily consciousness is that the former is attached to Krishna, whereas the latter is attached to the results of his activities. A person who is attached to Krishna and works for him only is certainly a liberated person. And he has no anxiety over the results of his work. In the Bhagavatam, the cause of anxiety over the results of an activity is explained as being once functioning in the conception of duality. That is, without knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. In Krishna consciousness, there is no duality. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the Absolute Plane. They are transcendental and have no material effect. One is therefore filled with peace in Krishna consciousness. But one who is entangled in profit calculation, the sense gratification, cannot have that peace. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Realization that there is no existence besides Krishna is a platform of peace and fearlessness. Tyaktva karma phalam tyaktva naishtim shantima noti naishtikim ayukta karma karina pali sakta nivadyate. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he's offered the results of all activities to me, whereas the person who is not in union with the Divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. Material conception of life means we have so many needs. And the spiritual conception of life means that we need to satisfy Krishna. We need Krishna's association. And we need Krishna's service. Therefore, by practice, by becoming Krishna conscious, gradually, what we perceive as necessary becomes gradually unnecessary. It's called anartha nivritti. Devotional service begins with shraddha. That is, some liking, some attraction. And then by such attraction, we may want to find out more, because everyone wants to find out more about something that they like. And then we find out that the way of liking, getting a greater taste, is by Vajna Kriya. But that's called Anishtata Vajna Kriya at the beginning, which means that it's a mixture of practice, and at the same time, having material conceptions and desires. Material conceptions means automatically we're going to accept material desires. And spiritual practice means gradually understanding what is desirable and what's not desirable. Therefore, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, generally there are two classes of people. Yanisha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasya dragarati bhutani sanisha pajutomune. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is night for all beings is what is the time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective sage. In other words, two kinds of people. One are interested in cultivating sense gratification, and the other is interested in cultivating Krishna consciousness. And cultivating Krishna consciousness, Krishna says, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamyam pravishanti sarve sashantim atnoti nakama kami. Person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled remains still. A person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled, but always remains still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So we're wondering what this whole thing about fruitive activities are. You know, are the devotees giving up being fruitarians, or they give it, become a devotee means to give up apples and oranges and bananas and no more fruits? No, it means giving up material desire. And how do we know what desires we have to give up? Well, we could sit down in japa one day and with a pad and pencil and then just spend, you know, chant a few beads and then start writing down all the things that went through your mind. So that's our, you know, and you do one round and fill up the book. Then you'll get some idea what the fruit of desires we have are. Now Krishna says, "Nakama kami." They may be going through our mind, but if we don't go to fulfill them, then they don't count. Of course, they do count, especially if we don't pay attention to the holy name, because behind that, there's supposed to be the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still. In other words, if we're actually concentrating on Krishna and experience something about Krishna, we may not be perfectly in Krishna consciousness, but we'll actually experience Krishna enough that material desires won't disturb us. And if we're not experiencing Krishna, it's like a train going down the track and someone throws a leaf on the track and the train falls over. Didn't take much to derail the train. So similarly, if our Krishna consciousness is not very strong, then even a very slight material desire agitates us. It doesn't take much for us to become bewildered by the material energy. But as we develop Krishna consciousness, and what does that development mean? Well, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur outlines different stages in Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, so we should become aware of them. First one is called Utsahamayi, puffed up with enthusiasm. So we may think that people are working primarily to eat and sleep, mate and defend, which is true, but when those things for most of the living entities are fulfilled. So what do people really working for grossly? They want to feel that they're better than everyone. Utsaha, puffed up with enthusiasm. They're more energetic, they're more intelligent, they're something. They have some reason to be puffed up. I'm the greatest. So everyone wants to feel like that. That's called utsahamayi. And then one thinks, I'm God's gift to the Hare Krishna movement. By my mercy, the movement goes on. By the mercy, the movement will be sustained. By my mercy, the movement will grow. And it's all due to my divine presence. Unfortunately, the fools, they deride at my descending in this human form. They don't know my transcendental nature. So the next one is Gana Tarala, alternating thick and thin. One moment we're in ecstasy, we're dancing like a madman. You know, we're one leap and we're in Vaikuntha. One big leap and we've passed the material world. And the next moment we're completely in Maya, thinking, you know, I'm depressed. There's no room for me in the Hare Krishna movement. I don't know how I ever got here. And then slowly we work up, we become ecstatic again. Yes, I'm never going back to the material consciousness again. I'm here forever. I'm going to stay high forever in Krishna consciousness. And then again, we're like a roller coaster. We're in Vaikuntha. Yeah, crash. So that's called Ganadhara, alternating thick and thin. And the next one I always get wrong for some reason is Viyuta Vikalpa and Vishaya Sangara. I don't know which comes first. I think Vishaya Sangara. Viyuta Sankalpa, excessive speculation. That is, one is always making plans how to become more steady. Because we realize after some time, I'm just not steady. So why am I not steady? So we're trying to make plans to how to become steady, giving up our mental speculation. Well, actually, we just engaged in extensive mental speculation to try to figure out why we're not steady. We think about everything except for the fact that I'm not thinking about Krishna. That's the last thing we think about. We're searching for every reason except for the fact that I'm not remembering Krishna. So we think that maybe the reason why I'm having a difficult time is that I'm in the Western world. I should go to Vrindavan and stay there, take shelter of the Holy Land. But if I have to do that, when the planes start flying again, I have to collect for the plane. And I hate to collect. So maybe I should get married. Get my wife to collect. Let her pay for the plane tickets. But if I get married, I'm going to get entangled. I'll have to go to work. Probably she wants me to go to work. And I don't want to go to work. And I just want to go to Vrindavan, but I don't want to pay for the ticket. So in this way, one is thinking of all kinds of plans, how to get out of his problems, and thinks about every plan except for the plan of thinking about Krishna. No time to read the books, no time to do anything. Most of the time one is engaged in speculation. And when it's speculating so much, I think, well, I'm tired of speculation, go to sleep. Get some relief from my speculation. And then Vishaya Sangara, war against sense gratification. That one finally figures out, well, I'm just speculating too much. That actually what I have to do is renounce something. I have to give up these things. So one makes plans, actually. One stops on Ekadasi. One stops eating everything. I'm going to really focus on Ekadasi, and one goes Niljal. Niljal is also defined. Another way of practicing Niljal is you have three big feasts during that day, but you don't drink a drop of water. So that's also practicing Niljal. But sometimes people don't eat anything, they don't drink anything, and all day long they're just thinking about when is the fast end. Looking at all the devotees enviously, thinking, there's another sense gratifier. Look at them. I see they're putting another mouth to prasadam, and there's no limit to their gratification of their senses. Even as a codicil, they should be ashamed. But I'm practicing Neil Jal because I'm actually trying to become a sincere devotee. And there's only 23 hours and 59 minutes and 2 seconds left, and then I can finally eat. So one is actually giving up sense gratification, at least externally, but one is completely absorbed in it mentally. And after the time for the feast, the time for prasadam, one eats enough for the next 2 weeks. Just in case one gets hungry. So that's war against sense gratification. And then after some time, one is tired of suffering by going up and down, bhoga tyaga. And then one decides, I'm going to just become steady. I'm going to follow a regulated platform. Eat, not eat too much, eat too little, get up at the same time every day. Niyamakshama. One makes plans to become regulated in one's life. And yeah, one day one gets up at 2 o'clock and he tells all his friends, I made it, you know, I'm liberated. I went, you know, he doesn't tell him I went to sleep at 6. Woke up at 2. But when it's proud, you know, I've actually, and the next day it's 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock. Oh, I hope I can make Mangalarti next week. So one is trying in so many ways to become more regulated, and one is not successful. But as one tries, one actually comes to the, as one tries on every stage, then gradually one comes. One realizes where the problem is, and with Krishna's mercy and the mercy of Guru and the devotees, and one gradually comes to a more regulated stage. It's not that. The beginning is one realizes I'm not regulated, and then one tries, and after some time one actually starts developing more better regulation. And then one comes to the stage where many devotees get trapped on, is called Taranga Rangini. Enjoying the small waves of devotional service. One comes to the platform, one is more or less free from gross sense gratification. One is, knows how to be humble. comes to the program all the time, so he's more or less steady. And he's not excessively speculating. He's more or less in one place because he has no choice. He was going to go to Vrindavan, but the coronavirus stopped him. So I got credit for being steady. And he's not so much attracted to just eat unlimitedly or sleep unlimitedly, or he can regulate. And then he becomes more regulated in his habits. And then everyone thinks, well, he's a pure devotee. And he thinks he's a pure devotee too. And he appreciates that everyone finally has recognized him for who he really is. So that's, and he gets followers and wealth, whatever, everything Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected, more and more. You're encouraging me. So that's called Akshama Niyama. Taranga Ragini, enjoying the small waves of devotional service. So after some time, one will get tired of that, and then anartha nivritti. One will actually try for anartha nivritti, which principally Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains is the trying to give up offenses against the holy name. One actually starts looking outward. So this is the platform of a Madhyama Adhikari. One starts realizing that I have to work on the Nishta platform if I'm actually going to be the liberated platform. Naishtikim, as it says in this verse. Shantim Anoti Naishtikim. I have to work peacefully on the Naishtiki platform and try to love Krishna, try to make friends with the devotees. So on this, we're trying to give up the offenses against the holy name. Although in some temples they recite every day the offenses against the holy name. But it's like, you know, they've been doing it for like 30 years. I wonder if anyone has any memory. that in between one day and the next they can't remember the 10 offenses. But maybe it's good to remember the offenses against the holy name. Of course it is good. So blessing the devotees, in other words, consider Krishna as God, appreciate the scriptures, pay attention, focus one's consciousness on Krishna. These are all the workings of a Madhyama Adhikar, giving up the 10 offenses. Summarized as trying to love Krishna, serve the advanced devotees, help the innocent, and avoid the atheists. Then if one is successful, one comes to the Naishtiki platform, and one becomes peaceful. There's no more hankering, there's no more lamentation, one sees everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna, and that's the liberated platform. Vidya, Vinaya, Sampane, Brahmanigavi, Hastani. But that's not the end of it, because it's not the end of the chapter either. There's more work that has to be done. But this is a good start. Trying to come to the Naishtiki platform. This is not exactly the Naishtiki platform, but this is the work necessary to come to it. Giving up the results of our work. Giving up hankering, lamentation, not worrying about what's going to happen next. Worrying about whether I'm going to remember Krishna next or next. When I'm going to do something for Krishna next. When I'm going to do it in the proper consciousness. Worrying about that. Then one comes to the Naishtiki platform. And these other things don't bother one so much. One knows that Krishna will arrange everything. And there's not much I can actually control in the material world. It'll all be arranged by Krishna. So let me just take shelter of devotional service and utilize every opportunity I can for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
This verse says that a devotee is not anxious for the fruits and the results. But if these results and fruits are for Krishna, we may still be anxious to get something, to do something for Krishna. So, how does a devotee attain peace if he's anxious to do something for Krishna and he's struggling with some goal or some result he wants to offer to Krishna?
Well, if he thinks he's the doer, he's going to be in Maya. He'll be anxious. That's all right. It's better to try to be anxious to do something for Krishna, and that will help remember Krishna. And then one will gradually be purified. And then one will see that ultimately Krishna is controlling everything. All one can do is desire. And that desire, of course, one understands that ultimately it's up to Krishna to fulfill the desire or not. We can't demand that Krishna do exactly what we want, because we're Krishna's servants. He's not our servant. And if he wants, he'll be successful. If he wants, it won't. It's like Jatayu tried to defeat Ravana. He couldn't do it. He tried, though. It's not that Ram came and said, "You're a loser, kid. Everyone on my team is a winner. You're obviously not on my team because you lost." No, he was appreciated, although he lost, as much as Hanuman, who was victorious. So our duty is to desire, but leave it up to Krishna to fulfill the desire. And if we are anxious anyhow, then Krishna will help us, because at least we're remembering Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, gradually we'll become Krishna conscious, and anxiety will go away. The material anxiety. Now, spiritual anxiety is a whole different thing. That will just make one more and more meditating on Krishna, that's all. So the result of spiritual anxiety is I'm more and more absorbed in thinking about Krishna, then that's very good. But if the result of anxiety is that I'm very unsatisfied if I don't get the result that I think I need, as if Krishna, I'm the doer, I'm the one who produces the result, and I forget Krishna, well, that won't be very good. Well, Krishna, I'm thinking about you, I'm in anxiety, please give me the result. And when you don't give me the result, then I become angry at Krishna. You're useless. Maybe I should try Shiva. Yes.
Maharaj, as in this verse, Krishna is usually speaking about abandoning actions impelled by motive of sense gratification. So, what about if feelings of guilt pull us away from Krishna? For example, if your mother says you are paying so much attention to this Krishna, why don't you visit me? I'm not going to be here forever. Pay some attention to me, for example, and out of feelings of guilt, how to deal with this? This might be harder. Krishna is not addressing this thing. But this is also part of sense gratification, probably. No?
Yeah. If I'm visiting your mother, you fall into Maya. And if your mother is... I mean, I'm not saying anything about visiting mothers. Maybe it's appropriate sometimes to visit one's mother, bring in some prasadam or whatever. We have some obligation. On the other hand, if you water the root of a tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. So we want to do the best service for our family, then that's done when we actually try to advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada once wrote me a letter. He said that just like during wartime, the government takes care of the family of the soldiers. So because you're engaged in Krishna's service, then Krishna will take care of all your relatives. And he did. So we should. And in a real sense, not only they'll be taken care of in many ways, but they'll also get some spiritual benefit too, which they'll never get if they induce you to fall into Maya. They'll go to hell and you'll be following their footsteps afterwards. Or maybe leading their way. Anything else? We should visit our mother once in a while. Say Hare Krishna to her at least. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.